Hi, and welcome to GamerCast, episode 169. I'm Adam.
And I'm Paul, and this is the episode for the 13th of September, 2009. And joining us this week, like the last couple of weeks, is Catherine again. Hi, Catherine.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey.
I don't see why I don't get to introduce myself when you guys do. I did last time.
Well, yeah, she did last time.
Nerds.
Yeah, that's fine.
You got to get in there quick before he interrupts you. He always does.
No, he was just talking, and I couldn't find a gap in his talking, so I couldn't say anything. Just crap.
Oh, poke him in the, him in the ribs with your finger.
Dude, I've got an announcement to make as well.
Ooh, announcement.
No fracking edits this week.
Oh.
Do you know how long it took me to cut all the stuff out she wanted me to cut out?
Not that long.
I was here for about 40 minutes doing it.
Harsh. It's a harsh 40 minutes. Anything could happen in the next 40 minutes. What did they used to say that? Oh, it's Stingray. But they didn't say 40 minutes, they said something else. But... Sorry, I'm having a backlash from my childhood.
Are you sure it wasn't like the Outer Limits or something?
No, it was Stingray. And it was anything can happen in the next 5 minutes or something like that. I'm sure it was Stingray. You remember Stingray?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it was out before we were born, but I remember the reruns. That and I actually preferred Stingray over Thunderbirds.
I didn't like AM. It freaked me out.
I think it's because it was Thunderwar. Yeah, I must admit, it was a little bit un-action for my liking. As a child, I prefer... If it was animated, I watched it. If it was live action, yeah. You know, didn't want to know. Okay. I suppose first is letters. Did we have any?
Yes, we did.
Hooray!
This is from somebody who identifies himself as Sha Mu.
In other words, my sister.
She says, I thought those sparkles... No, she says sparklies on the PS3 login screen weren't there before. Exclamation mark. Sticking out tongue emote. My comment is very helpful.
Yeah, they were brought in with the latest update. Which... was weird. It kind of makes you realize that every time they do a major update on the PlayStation, they're going to change the background weirdly, but yeah. So now you have the original, the new one, and this one, but I doubt they'll change it again, because this was obviously the firmware that's been updated for the new PlayStation, i.e. the Slim version, which they're not calling the Slim. It's the rebranding of having a PlayStation 3 that no longer uses the Spider-Man logo. Thing.
Well, apparently Sony have done really well since they released it, because they are marketing it as a new... Well, people feel it's a new console. I don't know why, but everything exactly the same.
The only difference that I've seen on it is you no longer have to use a flathead screwdriver to get into the hard drive compartment. It actually has a button to get in there. Bar that, I think it's exactly the same apart from size.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't mind a 120GB hard drive, but I'm sure that hard drive in one is a completely different hard drive to what the 60 gigs have in them.
Yeah.
Which I think is stupid how Sony did that. Using completely different sized hard drives throughout the production of the PS3s.
Yeah.
People moaned at me whenever I switched their consoles because I couldn't give them their hard drives. They were like, oh, just put it in there. It's like, oh, it won't fit you in it. Anyway.
I know. It's annoying. And to be honest, I can't, like we said on previous episodes, I can't justify swapping my old one out for one of these new ones, where I could just go buy a laptop hard drive and use the software that comes on the PlayStation 3 to back up all of my everything on my PlayStation 3 onto a portable drive, and then throw in another... Really annoying, I can hear his crisping.
Well, it's just going to hear you eating crisps on the show.
We need to get him a crisp muffler. A special bag for him to eat crisps.
No, we need to put him in a bowl, because then he can't make noise.
Yeah.
Getting them out.
You need to get him a GamerCast bowl for him to put his crisps in.
I should have poured him in that bowl.
Don't worry, he's almost gone.
Now you're doing it on purpose.
You're the one moaning at me for no edit things, and then you're blatantly just...
Yeah, but I'm not asking for this to be edited out. I don't mind.
Fine.
He likes showing the listeners the loudness of his...
All right, noobs, let's talk about Championship Manager 10, shall we?
Yeah. I mean, although that's probably ended now. But they were doing an offer, like Radiohead did with...
In Rainbows.
In Rainbows. Where you could pay whatever you wanted for the game. Although there was a minimum of... What did Tim say? Was it $2.99?
Yes, like the minimum you could pay was like a couple of quid or something.
I'll check my emails because I had the email from Eidos. But I may have deleted it. Oh, no, there you go. Oh, no, see, it finished. Oh. Well, I've mentioned it, just maybe a bit too late.
So was it kind of like an electronic download only, or could you just walk into any region?
Yeah, it was for electronic download. So if you pre-ordered it off Eidos' site before the 11th of September, you could pay, well, from $2.99 for it. So pretty much pay $2.99 for it. But from the 11th onwards, it returned to full price. And it was just going to be full price in store as well, but it was just like a thing for if people were like looking about on the net, I suppose. Or if they were signed up to Eidos' newsletter.
That is quite good. Because it, for like the band music, you know, you're following the band, you know that the music goes to the band and you're making them move forwards. But a lot of people who will buy video games, I must admit, unless you're a majorly hardcore gamer and you're really into the industry and you know all the companies that make the games and you understand the hardship of what goes into making a video game, most people don't understand that. And they're quite, oh, £2, £2 something. Yeah, I'll pay that for a video game. I ain't paying anymore. That's the minimum. I'm happy with that.
I mean, people could have paid more, of course. I doubt many people did, though.
Yeah. But fair enough, at the end of it, it's electronic download. It doesn't cost anything for the reproduction of the game. I imagine it's only the bandwidth that's actually going to cost them, if that.
Well, and lost sales.
Yeah.
Because obviously a lot of their fans will buy the cheap one instead.
Yeah, no one's going to go into GameStation and actually buy the disc sort of thing. But
yeah, in Rainbows, the average person paid £4 for the album.
Which isn't bad, considering you could have got it for free, couldn't you? Was it free?
Mm-hmm.
Now, did the music go to the band on that one, or was it the sales that you could pay anything you wanted went to a charity?
No, I think they released it themselves.
Yeah.
So there wasn't like a big publisher, obviously.
But then like, Nine Inch Nails have been doing that recently with all their newer albums. They're just all free.
Yeah.
And they're not charging anything for them.
Yeah, a bit bizarre. That's the thing, if it's free, does that mean if it goes on to electronic download, the company that's putting it on there has to sell it for free as well?
No idea.
Strange. Let's not get into music industry, I'll get confused. That's a very strange thing to actually do. I suppose it'd be quite cool if you had these things where if you're a hardcore fan and you're following the newsletter and everything about the game, that all of a sudden they'll just go, right, it's going to be released, but everybody who's looking at it now, you've got, like, people in this next two-hour slot can download this game and pay a fiver for it instead of £30. And literally, as many people can get on or actually know about it, and only certain people will pick up on this because they're following the feeds closely, and then everyone else will have to pay full price. It's good publicity, but bar that...
Well, it wasn't good publicity, if you ask me. I didn't hear about it.
Well, the only reason I heard about it, I got about 3 emails from them about it, but I ignored 2 of them because I didn't really care too much for Championship Manager.
Yeah, it's not exactly something on top of my list.
But Tim saw it ages ago.
Myself, I'm very sorry to say, but things like Championship Manager is like an electronic version of watching paint dry. But that's just my personal taste.
I don't know, I used to play Football Manager 2 on the Spectrum quite a bit.
Yeah, but back then you didn't have much of a choice to play or what you could play, were you?
I liked Super Kickoff on the SNES. And there's a football game on the Game Boy, which was quite nice because the guys looked really cool. Because they were, like, really cool sprites.
I must say, the closest thing I've actually done to it would probably have been 2K's Ice Hockey, and they had a management system built into there where you could just go into management mode. And I had a little play with it for an hour, then got bored, and then went back to arcade mode and carried on playing the ice hockey game. That's about as close as I've ever got.
Well, anyway, shall we move on to Assassin's Creed 2?
Yes. Saw a video, I think it was the one that they shoved up on Xbox at the moment, about going through and describing through the gameplay mechanics And I'm happy to say that I will definitely be buying this game, because some of the things that were bothering me from the previous game was the actual replayability or being able to do side quests. And the fact that they've shown that there's side quests where you actually go to, like, where the carrier pigeons send a message, and you end up being an assassin for someone, and you have to do these side assassinations that have nothing to do with the story, and it allows you to go off and do other things instead of having to follow the linear storyline about what the game's about, and as well as these secret areas that once you get into them, it loads into a secret environment which is completely shut off from the rest of the level, which is to do with famous landmarks in the setting. And I must admit, Venice, that's it.
Yeah.
And I must admit, I got the vibe that they were very similar to, like, the training bit in Assassin's Creed 1, where you started off, before you had all of your stuff removed from you and your rank lowered, it was similar to that, where you're all enclosed in this archaeological area sort of thing, and people are in this area with you, and it's a mixture of free running and fighting and stuff like that. And I quite like that, the idea of there are other things to do other than playing the game, and that's what the only thing I actually had wrong with the last game was, the fact that I felt like, well, you've given me this really cool character, I've got these really cool assassination weapons and moves, and a massive city to run around in, and all I can do is find out about the next assassination, do it, oh, move on to the next level. And the same again, it felt repetitive, and I ended up making my own stuff of walking around and going, ah, there's a really high secure area, there's no need for me to go there, but I'm just going to go there and kill everyone because I'm bored and it's an afternoon and I want to do something. So I must admit, from the looks of this, it really looks like it's going to have a lot more game time on the game, with the fact that you're going to have these different areas to go explore and the extra assassinations missions to complete, which is a major added bonus to this game, because it was a major letdown on the previous one. So have you seen that one, Kevin?
No.
No, maybe. Oh yeah, I have. Yeah.
Yeah. I was quite impressed. It's the one that's on Xbox front panel at the moment. They also showed the different weapons, but only a few of them. They showed the gun being used and the two blades, and the smoke bomb. Smoke bomb was quite cool. Just dropping down the smoke bomb and the smoke comes up and you can use it to escape from the area. But the only thing that I can't remember in the first one, whether time actually stopped when you changed and selected weapons, or you could just select weapons as you're moving along, because it kind of gave the feel that when you went to select weapons, you could go, you bring them up and the menu system would come up and you would select to a different selection of weapons, and then when you came out of that menu system, it felt like you carried on moving from then onwards. It was a bit weird, but I'm definitely dying to have a go at this game. Looks good. So yeah, it's on my list. Might not get it straight away. Yeah, I think it's going to, as far as I remember, I think it's got a release of near end of October. I think it's around about 25th of October, something like that.
I think it might be the 20th. Actually, no, it's not the 23rd, because that's...
Might be 24th.
No, the 23rd's Forza and everything, I think.
Yeah.
And, like, Uncharted.
Yeah, because they all seem to be heading towards November, but they all seem to be hitting release dates for end of October now.
Well, they're getting them just before Christmas releases, really. Because if they let the development slip a bit more, they'd never make Christmas. Because
a lot of people are trying to buy before Christmas and stuff. So, yeah, definitely one on my list.
Yeah, I'll be getting it.
Yeah, I was kind of a bit yes, no with it. And I like the way that the suit looks that he wears. I really want to know more of the story, because that was the only reason I completed the last game, was the story. But it was just the fact I felt like if this is going to be same and more of the previous one, and there's not going to be anything to do apart from the main story, I might wait for it to get cheaper and just play it so I understand the story and enjoy the game. But I don't know if I could actually spend full price on this game just to go from A to B in the storyline. But now the fact they've revealed that you've got a multitude of different things to keep you occupied during the game, it's a lot more tempting as a video game to buy.
It's actually coming out the 20th of November.
20th of November?
Yeah, so they're getting out just before all the Christmas releases come out.
Maybe I'm missing
something. It might be an
18
as well.
Ooh,
cool. Actually, but that is a special edition. No, it's 15. Maybe get a DVD with the special one.
Yeah, they did say that they were going to do the same thing with the special edition they did last time, where you actually get a figurine.
Yeah, they're doing a figure of the new dude running.
Yeah, should be quite cool.
It's cheaper than it was last time as well, I think, if the page will load. It's going really slow.
Reading
yeah, it's 60 quid this time, whereas last time it was actually 70 quid. Way too expensive, if you ask me.
Yeah.
But I did have a job in game, so it made it cheap.
Yeah, I must admit, I was exactly the same when they brought out the limited edition of Street Fighter 4. I was very tempted for the figurines, but it was just justifying spending that much money on getting the extra bits. But I couldn't afford it at the end. I'm seeming to be very picky and choosy of when I go to the special edition and when I don't. I think the last special edition I actually thought that was any good was probably Legendary Edition of Halo 3.
Yeah.
You had my staff discount for that as well, you cheeky git.
Yeah. Me and Paul were turning up at midnight, and everyone was giving me the sympathy vote, because we're all stood there queuing outside. I get let in early with the rest of the game staff, and everybody else has to queue behind me, and I'm the only one there buying the Legendary Edition with staff discount, and I don't even have an Xbox. Because it had been nicked, so I had to wait for the insurance company to replace it. So I think I ended up having to come over yours, Paul, to play it for the first time before I even got to play my own copy.
Did you? So,
yeah, I think you showed me a bit of the level or something of the first bit, because it took a while before I got my new Xbox. So I felt like a kid again, getting something before Christmas. The fact that all I had to do was read the manual, and that's as far as I could actually get with the game. It was annoying as hell. But, yeah, definitely looking forward to that one. Okay, Tony Hawk's Ride. Have you guys seen much about this?
I just know that it's got
a stupid peripheral board.
Yeah. Now, Activision, obviously, with doing Rock Band. It is Rock Band they do, isn't it?
Guitar Hero. Do Rock Band.
Yeah, wrong way around, yeah. They're really getting into the idea of doing these peripherals, and Tony Hawk's has kind of got left behind with the likes of Skate coming out, with the fact that it is a little bit too old-school arcade skateboarding, so he's pushed to have this ride system put in. But I heard that Activision are pushing that this skateboard, when you get it, because it's a generic board, they should be able to make a programmable dev kit for it, so that they want to be able to have skateboarding, snowboarding, anything that uses a board, games to be able to run off the one peripheral. So it all won't just be for this one skateboarding game, and that's your lot, and you end up with this piece of plastic that you have to plug in. The other thing that was quite interesting, Tony Hawk's is been very adamant that the system for the skateboard runs on a multitude of levels, so you can have it so that you've got it on basically kid mode, and the skateboard does the steering and that's it, and then you'd use a controller for everything else, and then you could go to more expert mode where skateboarders would be like, oh my god, this is weird, but I like this, and it ends up becoming a skill in its own.
How does it work for when you want to do tricks and stuff?
They didn't say too much about how it works with actual, like, kickflips or anything like that. They were very about it. But the system uses motion in it to actually steer left and right, leaning backwards and forward, so you can actually balance the board in a manual position, which is basically doing a wheelie on a skateboard. You balance on the back trucks. Which is in it. I can do that on my skateboard, and it's a skill to its own. And the fact that I think you would just do that on the controller on easy mode, But if you're doing it on hard mode, you would actually have to have the skill of being able to balance this board backwards to make the skateboarder do it. There's a sensor strip on both sides of the skateboard, so it actually knows that you're grabbing the skateboard and where.
Can I just say something? The sensor strip is infrared.
Yeah.
How do you know that?
Because I know.
Okay.
It looks like an IR port, so I'm assuming it's infrared.
Yeah, it looks like that, but they're saying that the sensor picks up where your hand is going, and determining where you grab a skateboard will determine what grab trick you're doing. But it also picks up the position of your foot, so you basically wave your foot on the floor. This is where you're going to get to the problem. If you keep dragging your foot on the floor, you're going to wear a hole in the bloody carpet. But you kind of do the same action you see Michael J. Fox do on the hoverboard in Back to the Future 2.
Oh, dear.
And you do that action to make your skateboarder character go forwards. The idea I like about it is it's actually going to be a proper physical game, and if you've got it set on hard mode, it's going to be quite a skillful game to play, because it's going to be more realistic for skateboarding than it just being a crappy peripheral, if it does what it says on the box, that is. I still am yet to waiting to see if this actually can achieve what they're trying to achieve. But I think they've done quite a good job with the peripherals for Guitar Hero, so I'm kind of hoping that this is being drilled down to the fact of this game needs to beat Skate in being very unique, because Skate was picked up by a lot of skateboarders because the thumbstick system for doing all of the flips was very, very intuitive to how you would actually do the tricks for real on a skateboard. And it wasn't more in the sense of got to do a combination of buttons, and didn't feel like a gaming game, but more like a skateboarding game. And I think this is the route they're trying to achieve on it. I want to get it, but only if it's like what it says on the box. If it ends up being really crap, then, because I know it's going to be bloody expensive for this.
Yeah, isn't it like 100-odd quid?
Yeah, it's round about that sort of price range, and that's the thing that they're trying to pump out with the idea of this: you buy Tony Hawk's Ride, you'll get this skateboard, and then this, like, I don't know, Sean White snowboarding or some other famous snowboarder game will come out, and that game will work with this skateboard, so you pretend you're on a snowboard instead. So,
and of course Project Natal just blows it all away anyway, so
yeah, scan your skateboard and your cat and you can have fun. But it's got my attention. I'm going to keep following any more details on it, and I'm getting quite excited about it, but I could see it failing quite easily and just being very gimmicky, like the Wii Remote. You know, it didn't exactly say what it did on the tin, as far as I'm concerned. And I'm bothered this may go the same way, but
what?
We'll have to wait and see.
Are you talking about Natal?
No, the Wii.
The Wii? Wii?
Yes. Ugh. I always felt that
it... Don't be mean about the Wii.
I like the Wii console, but I always felt that it never... It didn't do what it said on the tin.
Well, it did.
As well as I was expecting. But, I'm kind of hoping this really does do what they achieved. I've yet to watch any videos of it in action yet, because I was doing a lot of the reading about this at my work lunch on my iPhone, and I couldn't watch the videos on the bandwidth I was on, so I will look into it a bit more. But, yeah. What's the next thing? Battle Swarm, Field of Honor.
Yeah, what the hell is this, dude? You said something about this being like a first-person shooter if you play as humans, or a strategy game if you play as a bunch of insects.
I literally just found this. Secret. And it's... And let me get the page up again. If it will load. No. Bloody flash. I just found this. It was advertised on a website. Their beta is now open to actually go and play this. And it looks... It doesn't look absolutely amazing. But...
I had a look at their website and none of the images loaded.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Yeah, this might be a load of crap, but I like the idea of, you know, first-person shooter versus RTS. The idea of the different styles of gameplay, and I've always wanted the idea of having a first-person shooter that had RTS elements in there for like command abilities to command the people who are in first person. But this, where it's actually versus, and it's kind of a nice way of doing it. Because one game, the first game I've ever come across that had mixed style of gameplay was the multiplayer mode on Splinter Cell, where it was third person versus first person. So the different types of gameplay style were competing against each other in the different ways you could do it. So third person, you had more view around your back, you were trying to sneak, you could see around the corners easier because you had more vision around yourself, you could climb up things, drop down, where first person, you had jump, you run around, but you had a lot more intuitive of being able to shoot more accurate with a machine gun. And having those two compete against each other was kind of unique, and the fact that you're competing gameplay styles against each other, as well as characters. And the idea of having it so that your first-person shooter using the ability of being able to shoot acutely, compared to the fact that you've got someone who basically all they have to do is draw a box around a character and then click on you and say attack, and then they can go back to making more bad guys for you to kill. So, I don't know, it's kind of cool, but I imagine it's not a very great game, but I like the idea of versus different types of gameplay styles.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it looks like the fact that it's out in beta, it looks like probably a low-end game, but I literally just saw it and thought, ooh, cool. But, yeah, there you go. Right, we got Halo ODST up again. You wanted to talk?
Well, I was just mentioning about a Kotaku thing that was posted up about it. Because it wasn't made by their actual normal team.
It wasn't made by their main Bungie. Team.
It was made by Bungie, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'm sure it's made by Bungie.
It just wasn't made by their team working on Reach, I'm guessing. Because it was actually made by
the main Halo team.
Yeah. Right. It was made by the guys that were working on Chronicles, which is the film or something. Maybe.
Right. Okay.
And they, because of course that was canned, because they didn't have enough money for it. They decided they had time, so they'd just make a game. And they made it in 14 months.
Well, that's cool. I suppose the fact the engine is there a lot, they're using the similar places that were very iconic in Halo 2, and the fact that the when you play as the recruit, you're basically in a sandbox situation, which basically means that's one massive map you have to build, and then you steer the character around that map through the events that happen. So, yeah, I can actually believe them actually making it in that short period of time, because all the hard work was done by the Halo 3 team already. It was just making a game in the Halo 3 engine.
Yep.
Which is pretty cool. Which makes me kind of excited about Reach. If these guys made this amazing game quite quickly in the Halo 3 engine, I'm really looking forward to Reach then, if it's the main Halo team making Reach.
I don't even know what it's about.
Reach is a prequel to... if you read the Halo books, Reach is where the first Halo book is set.
Right. Because he's mentioned a few times, isn't it, during the game? I'm sure it is.
Well, yeah, Reach is when most of the Spartans were killed.
Right. Okay. So it's
and
more
you only
of
had
a...
like a dozen or so Spartans left.
Right. Because the game itself is an online-only game, isn't it? As far as I'm aware, from what they've seen, it's like a massive war battle going on.
No.
No?
No.
Or is it like Halo 3 where it's...
It'll be a game. It's like Halo 4, only it's a prequel, so...
Okay. I just got the impression it was like an online game.
Well, they're doing a multiplayer beta for
it. It's because they're doing the beta, you probably...
But they did that for everything else as well.
Yep.
They've been very quiet about it. Nothing's really screaming out about it. They won't talk too much about it, so...
Well, that's because it's still a ways off.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't come out till next year, doesn't it?
They hope.
Yeah. Which is quite cool that they're continuing on with it. Is this one because the contract with Microsoft is finished now, aren't they? They're back on their own doing what they want.
Bungie spun them off. Microsoft spun Bungie off, yeah.
Yeah. Which I think that's all they wanted was the ability for them to make those three games for them, and then they could go off and do whatever they want.
Well, no, Microsoft did own them, so they could have done anything with them. But Microsoft don't really want to spend too much time themselves working on games anymore.
Yeah.
Which is why I've got so many games to test lately. Like Rise of Nations.
That was ages
two.
Ago. Number two.
The Rise of Legends. That was number two.
The Rise of Legends.
Wasn't as good as the first one.
Oh, I've run out of tea. Damn it.
What about Dante's Inferno?
Can you pause this music?
Thank you. I can't hear any music.
Yeah, that's because Paul's playing it in our headphones. Don't play anything. Okay. I was just going to say, because I read about it on Kotaku, not, you know, of course, the best of sources, but I thought I'd mention it. Because a lot of reviewers recently received... recently received checks from EA for... Well, I'm not sure if it was always $200 or if it varied.
$200, dude.
But it was, like, sticking with the Dante's Inferno theme. And so it was saying how you could cash it, or you could not, depending on what consequences you wanted out of it or something like that. It was kind of weird. They were presented really nice in a box, though. I just thought I'd mention it.
Pretty.
Yeah, and the fact that they were giving $200 to people.
I'm kind of lost on the connection, so has that got something to do with something that happens in the game?
It's got to do with the seven deadly sins.
Right.
So it had to do with, giving the checkout had to do with greed, and I'm not sure which other one.
Okay.
Because it's all about consequences. Yeah.
Yeah, because Dante's Inferno, isn't that, that's the one with the... remind me what it's about. That's the certain
it's the,
levels of
the Divine Comedy.
Yeah, so it's that off a book, isn't it?
Yes. The Divine Comedy.
So it's all the different levels. It's this, so many levels of hell, and it's all to do with all the different sins or something.
I'm not sure on the exact details.
Yeah, I remember it being like the seven levels of hell or something like that. Or I might be thinking of something.
Dude, newsflash. Yeah. There's no such thing as hell.
Oh, you'll like this. My mate Gary's telling me he's found this zoo that's being run by creationists. And they've got, like, pictures of dinosaurs and stuff everywhere. And he said it's really freaky, and they're kind of, like, in belief of, like, when Jesus was around.
Right, first of all, it's not a zoo, it's a museum. A zoo has actual real animals.
I think it was a petting zoo.
Dozens of these places. There's fucking Dino Land. There's a couple in Kansas. They had like $26 million to spend money on.
This was a real petting zoo with real animals, but they had murals of dinosaurs, and they were all kind of like religious thing going on. And you know, there's kind of, and he was saying it was really freaky. And he wanted to go just so that he could sit there and giggle to himself as he was walking around. It's like, you're harsh. But he was kind of like, yeah, they believe that Jesus rode to Bethlehem on a velociraptor.
No, the dinosaurs went extinct before Jesus was born.
Yeah.
Maybe if you went to the museum, you'd learn that.
Well, I don't want to go.
The dinosaurs died shortly after the flood.
Shortly after the flood.
Yeah, because of course Noah had to take them onto the ark because animals obviously didn't commit sin, and so the animals were saved. Apart from, of course, all the animals who would have drowned who weren't saved.
Yeah.
But no, instead of doing the logical thing, which is to kill the dinosaurs off in the flood, no, Noah has to take the dinosaurs on the ark, and then they die afterwards. Because, of course, the creationists can't come up with a good story.
It's because all the lysine was destroyed in the flood, and the lysine effect was taken.
Dude, no. These are not genetically engineered dinosaurs.
Sorry, I was watching Jurassic Park last week, I couldn't help myself.
FIFA 10? demo for that release?
Yeah, there's a demo out. It came out on Thursday.
Whenever it was, a couple of days ago.
The 10th, which was graduation day, which was Thursday.
It seems everyone's going back to FIFA now instead of Pro Evolution. So I've heard. I don't know. I don't like football, so.
I know the guys at work all play FIFA.
They're FIFA mad.
Well, you work at EA.
They all like football.
They all like football and they all work for EA, so they probably...
Well, not all of them, but like on their lunch and after work, they'll play FIFA with each other. It's kind of annoying because they're like quite loud. But I don't know.
Make them wear headphones.
I haven't played the demo, but I thought we should mention that it's out for anyone that might not know yet and would want to play it.
Yeah. Myself? Nah.
Not really.
Yeah. But, it's out. I'm sure I saw it when I was looking on PlayStation Network. I keep getting freaked out when I go on my PlayStation with the fact that it actually tells me what's out. It loads automatically to that new info. This is what's out. This is what's available. And, like, it's weird. I'm normally used to it just going to a normal screen and just going, yeah, do what you want, instead of telling me what's available like the Xbox does. That's something they need to do on the next Xbox patch. Actually have an option to let you set which section you want it to auto-load to.
Yes.
That's just me. That's just me. I'm just being picky.
And yet it moves?
Just a second. It's just a game on Steam. I think it may have won IndieCade 1 year, or just been one of the ones that got through. Maybe not won an award, but something like that. It's on Steam. It's like a little platform game. It's quite cute. It's kind of, I suppose you could say, like a Loco Roco, because you can manipulate the world, except more okay. So. So like on the keyboard, all it uses is WAD. And up, left, and right on the arrows. With the arrow keys, you rotate the world, and then you move your guy with the WAD. I'm not used to saying no S. I thought it was quite nice. I thought I'd recommend it.
Although, yeah, it looks quite cool. It looks shit, but it's quite a cool concept.
It looks quite ugly. It's really low res. They should make a HD version.
That's okay.
What I'd say. Because their environments are quite nice, because they're like cut up images and photos and stuff, which look cool. But I'm not too sure on the run cycle for the character, because it looks a bit weird. I like when he dies, though. But I don't understand it, because it says touch, which I thought was a bit weird. But he like falls to pieces when he dies, and then comes back together at like a checkpoint. It's a really nice game. I recommend
quirky stuff. I must admit, I do like the quirky stuff, because I got really excited before I had a PlayStation when you were going on and on about Little Big Planet, when you sent a video link through and we were looking at that, and it just looked really quirky, and I still love playing Little Big Planet. It's cool. But what's that other one that's coming out? The one where you draw something and it happens. So you draw a dinosaur. Yeah, Scribblenauts. That's coming out soon, isn't it?
Yeah, that comes out really soon. I'm looking forward to maybe getting that.
What's that one out? Is that just DS?
It's just DS, yeah.
Yeah. I think that's a definite get, that one.
I'm sure there's lots of things that I can try and tell it to draw, make, that it won't be able to make. Because, of course, it's like a 3+ or something.
Yeah. I'm sure our really artistic people are going to have a really hard time, because their overactive imaginations are just going to be having a whale of a time, and it's just going to be going, nah, don't know what that is. Nah, don't know what that is. You've just drawn this. Are you sure it's not a tractor? No, it's not a tractor. It's a Starship Enterprise.
Oh. Okay.
Sorry, that was the first thing that popped in my head. Don't know why. Actually, no, I do know why. I was watching Star Trek at lunchtime. And it happened to be the only thing that was on Virgin that was any good. Right. Been there, done that, and time, gentlemen, please.
Yeah, that's another indie game on Steam for this week. Okay. Well, I'm thinking maybe this weekend. I'm not sure if it is, but Charlotte told me about it, even though it doesn't advertise on the Steam site. It's only $2.99 for the two games, which are two little adventure games, point-and-click adventure games.
Okay.
I've only played some of Ben There, Dan That just before we did Gamercast, because I've been quite busy. But I have a few tiny little criticisms about it, just because, well, I'm thinking it might have been made in Adventure Game Maker, which is like some free little engine you can download off the net, because they mentioned it in the credits at the start. But it was kind of crap because there's no background music. And there's only a few sound effects that seem to be in the whole game, which make it a bit quiet.
Yeah, when you get a video game and everything goes quiet, that's just too eerie. You should only be doing that in a video game when you want to create suspense. And then all of a sudden it ruins the atmosphere and you realise you're in a video game, not in the world they're trying to create for you.
Well, yeah, and like audio is a huge thing of any form of media that is needed. But they seem quite cool. I'd recommend them at like $2.99 for the two of them, because that's what, $1.50 each, which isn't a huge amount of money to pay for a game.
Yeah.
It's made by Zombie Cow Studios, who... Zombie Cow Studios, who are like, I think, little indie developer. They seem quite cool though. And I look forward to like finishing it. Maybe I'll talk about it more next week. Thank you.
It's a creaky door. There's something behind you.
I was getting food. oh shit. I pulled my headphones out.
That was silly, wasn't it?
I can't hear anything. Sorry.
Death to the world. Food. There you go. You need to get some masking tape on the headphones connections.
Well, no, I need to use headphones with a longer wire. They're really shit.
My wire is way too long. I can pretty much walk to the other end of the room and still be connected to the laptop.
Yes.
But yeah, so I was just advertising that a little bit, because it might only be for this weekend or something, I don't know.
Something good to look for.
Mm-hmm. And then I've got Beatles Rock Band to talk about.
Wow, excellent.
Have you had a go on it?
Yeah, I got it on Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Yeah. I didn't actually play it until Thursday night. But, yeah, I quite like it. I'd never played Rock Band before.
Okay.
I played Guitar Hero before, but I'm not hugely into the music-y stuff. I like rhythm games, but... It's too hypey for them. But, I thought it was cool. I had to do singing, because I wasn't allowed on the drums, because Charlotte wanted the drums and Tim wanted the guitar. So all I could do was sing, and I'm not very good at it. But it was cool.
Yes.
What comes with the kit? It's just like World Tour, where it comes with drums, guitar, and microphone.
Well, I just bought the game, because we already had the...
We've already got the kit, dude.
The kit for the original. But they've done two special guitars for it.
Yeah, there's Paul.
You get a microphone with a stand... And I want to find somewhere that does microphone stands, because you can have three people singing a chorus. So I'd like that, because then we can all sing along. Not that Paul would, but everyone else can.
I was singing along the other day, thank you very much. I've got quite a nice singing voice.
I think you get a different drum kit as well, only slightly different.
If he ever sings on Beatles, you have to record it for me.
I won't sing the Beatles, because I don't know any of their songs.
I was going to try and get him to, like, because then we put Rock Band in afterwards. And I played some Nine Inch Nails and sang it very badly, but he didn't know any of the songs that I played, because he hadn't heard them before.
I know the stuff on Guitar Hero.
Mm-hmm. Well, you didn't know what we were doing.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd be tempted to get it. I know that all the Rock Band games will work on the Guitar Hero stuff. So, I would be tempted to maybe buy the game and then run it off my Guitar Hero World Tour equipment, but... I don't know, yeah, I'm not a fan of the Beatles as much to want to play all of their music. There are a lot of tracks I do like, but I don't know. I probably would pick it up secondhand cheaper when it's been out for a while.
Mm. I thought I knew like lots of Beatles songs, and it turns out we just hardly know any.
Yeah.
It's like me and my sister grew up with our mum loving the Beatles. And obviously we only got played a few different ones, as we found out when we were looking through the song listings, And when it was playing the previews of them, it was like, yeah, I don't know this song.
The thing I like about it is you probably will find that some people, for the quirkiness of it, will buy this game for something different because it's the Beatles, they know a few tracks, oh, that'll be cool, it's a proper game, Beatles are really cool, it's cool to have it. And it'll actually introduce them to a lot of songs that a lot of people of our generation would never have listened to off the Beatles, which is quite a good thing. I think it's the best one out there that is particularly for a band, because Guitar Hero is getting Van Halen, which should be pretty cool, but I must admit, there have been the Aerosmith one, I wouldn't really go out just to buy Aerosmith.
One thing that they've done, and it's quite good though, is what was it called? Because you can not fail.
Non-fail mode.
Okay, that's great, which I thought was quite good. I don't know if the other ones usually have it. Do they?
I don't think they do, do they? I think they put it in the Beatles one because they were expecting much more wide audience sort of sales.
And so we just always had it on that, even though we did all right on it. Just in case my singing was bad.
But that's the thing, you're going to have people who are just major Beatles fans and are going to take a while to get into it. And if Rock Band is anything like Guitar Hero, where if you put it on the easy mode, you're pretty much just strumming along and it doesn't matter which fingers you use on the neck, you don't have to, you just strum along. It's a little bit, it makes you feel like you're a bit special when you're playing it. Especially with the drum kit, you're just like, you can hit anything as long as you hit it in time with the big purple bar, and you're kind of like, yeah, this is pointless. And it's quite a large gap between each level. So I suppose it allows them to actually try to play it properly, yet if they're missing every other beat, it's not going to ruin the game for them and kick them off because they can't get anywhere on it. Otherwise, the game's not going to last very long for anyone and they're going to be like, oh, this is rubbish. Where for a lot of people, it's just the idea of basically playing air guitar along with the Beatles. Which I thought was quite a good thing to put in.
I want to play the story mode because apparently it's got some nice cutscenes in between and stuff.
Yeah, I've seen a couple of the cutscenes and they look quite good the way that they're blending in from each of the time periods up to the point where they stopped touring, because they said the hardest thing for actually making a game about just the Beatles is they didn't actually play for a large amount of time before they stopped touring, and they did everything in the studio. So one of the things that the video game company did was they got the rights to get hold of some original recording sounds from all of the albums being made by the Beatles. So what they've got is they've got the background noise of them tuning their guitars, and some of them are ordering food and they're chatting among themselves, and they've got that to go in between each one of the tracks as they're getting ready to play. And then supposedly it starts playing with them in the recording studio, and then it will blend off into a video in the background to do with that track. Which I thought was a good way of getting around the fact that you can't have the Beatles on stage, because a lot of the tracks, they never played them live on stage.
And of course, not all of them are alive.
Yes.
That's true.
Yes.
With most of them being dead now.
So, I thought that was quite an interesting way of going around it. Yeah, I'd like to give it a go.
So how's the Beatles coming on iTunes then? Are they on there yet?
I don't think they are, no.
No, that's funny, that, isn't it?
I doubt it would, just for the fact that it's just come out on whatever they did to it on CD. I imagine they were like, no, we're not going to let people who have Apple to buy it on iTunes, when we'll make them buy it on CD first, then release it.
They did a remastered stereo and a remastered mono version.
Mono. And the mono version, the special edition mono version, is like major expensive.
Yeah.
And it's the proper sounding mono quality of what it would have been like to have on vinyl.
Great.
Yeah. So
just what I've always wanted.
Yeah. So the ultimate Beatles fan will love that sort of thing. And probably will buy two copies, one to keep sealed and one to listen to. Mm-hmm. I'm not that anal when it comes to stuff like that.
Anyways.
Yep.
I think that's pretty much it for this week.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I've mentioned everything, I think.
Yes, you have.
Yes.
Oh, well, I could mention that I've played some Civ 4 lately.
What have I been playing? Beatles. You played Trials, and you played Explosion Man.
Yeah,
and you
that
played
just
Kegel.
Quickly to get some gamer score.
And Braid.
Yeah, I've played some more Braid. I've almost completed it.
Cool.
I am determined to finish that game.
I've been playing Section 8 demo again. I just keep picking up that demo. And I've been playing Fable 2 a bit more. And I've got to the last boss on Batman, and I just haven't had an opportunity to sit down and finish the game.
Have I actually played anything? I haven't ever.
No, he'd been doing work.
Watching Harry Potter films.
Yeah, yes. I haven't played video games that much this week. I've been too busy sorting out for house hunting and drawing shed loads. So I haven't really had a chance.
I was too busy graduating.
And I was too busy doing maths tests and going to your graduation.
Yeah. I'll play more games this week if I can.
How was the graduation?
Alright.
Mine was weird.
All we did was tip our hats at the Vice Chancellor on the stage, and that was it.
We had to sit there, and we sat in the front row, and you had to go through all the speeches, and then you had famous people who came up and got their honorary doctorates and stuff like that. And the only two that I recognised out of the three we had was Mel Griffiths, or Griffin, or whatever he's called, the comedy guy.
What, Merv Griffiths, or Griffin, whatever?
He was the skinny one, and then there was the larger one. It was Mel Griffiths or something like that. Or Mel Griffin. Comedy guy. I can't remember his name properly. And then it was Mr. Attenborough. Not the one that does the nature show. It's the other one that did Jurassic Park. So he was there as well, so... We got to shake the dean's hand and all. And some
What's
guy...
his name? Richard, isn't it, or something?
Yeah.
No, Richard's dead, isn't he?
It's the guy at Jurassic Park and out of The Great Escape, him. So he was on stage.
The one from Brighton Rock? Was
that?
I'm not sure, does that?
It doesn't matter. I don't really see how this is relevant to the show either.
No, it's good.
I was just saying, you know, we had that, you know, da-da-da-da, you take your hat off and you have to sit through more of it, and then you walk out, everybody claps, and then you go stand outside with your parents and have your photos taken, God knows how many times, in front of multitude of friends, and then we went and had some food that was absolutely crap, and then I tried to take all my gear off without damaging it so we could hand it back, and then we went home. No, actually, no, we went back to the hotel to get our stuff before we went home.
Some people didn't get to stay in a hotel. We had to catch a train. So we got to stay there for like an hour after we got out of the graduation.
But
we got photos out of it, but not with like friends and stuff.
But the thing, it was a bit harsh to go up on the train, so my dad was going to drive us, and he was like, I'm not driving all the way up there first thing in the morning.
What? That's like so close by.
Yeah, so
dude.
You're not on the other side of the country.
Yeah, exactly.
It took us
so
like what?
He made us go up.
We had to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning.
I went up the night before and had to stay in a travel lodge, and then get up in the morning and then go to it then, which was really bizarre. So we had to go back. I don't think we went back to the travel lodge. I think we booked out then, all dressed and everything, and then we just drove back.
All right, but that's it for this week.
Yep.
Yeah.
Send us feedback by going to the blog at gamercast.net and leaving a comment there.
And don't forget to check out our Twitter at twitter.com/gamercast.
And do that as well, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sweet.
Is that it?
And feel free to Twitter us.
And we'll be back next week.
Cool.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.